are now live on Facebook. Hello and welcome to tonight's episode of Margaritas with Margarita Chang, CFP Pro, where every Friday, women learn how to improve their knowledge of money matters so that they can gain financial security. It's just a 15-minute show that's a great way to start the weekend. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, producer of the show on the Incandescent Radio Network and Incandescent TV. Thrilled to have tonight's guest, Dan Carreno, Executive VP of Business Development for Change Finance, PBC. The theme of our show is, what is change finance? So now I'm going to throw it over to you, Rita.
Thank you so much. We are going to be discussing ESG. I don't want to use a lot of acronyms without explaining what they are, but that's environmental, social, and governance. And this is a topic that is near and dear to my heart. So we're really excited to have Dan with us. Dan, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
So the first question is, what inspired the team at Change Finance to launch an ETF and compete with Vanguard, BlackRock, and State Street?
Yeah, the big three. So why would anybody do that, right? So I think the founders here at Change Finance, what we saw in the investment industry is that when you looked at some of the mutual fund companies that have been out there doing responsible and sustainable investing for a long time, there are companies like Calvert and Parnassus that have a lot of expertise going back decades doing this type of work. And they really kind of have the cred, right? They back up what they're doing with a lot of shareholder advocacy, and we can talk more about that. And that's great for folks that like to buy things like mutual funds. But if you are an investor and you prefer ETFs for a variety of reasons, that might be the case. When you looked at the ETF arena and you wanted to find something that had that ESG, environmental, social, and governance label on it, you were pretty much limited to products that were coming from BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, right? The big three. And not to say anything bad about those firms and disparage them, they're obviously good at what they do in some respects, but you know, sustainable and responsible investing is not the primary driver of those businesses, right? So we thought that somebody should really step into the ETF industry specifically and try to apply the same degree of intentionality, the same degree of ESG rigor, if you will, to trying to invest responsibly, trying to make a positive impact with your money, but being able to do so in an ETF as opposed to a mutual fund. So that's what gave birth to Change Finance. And here we are a number of years later.
Awesome. Congratulations. So this is a great segue. So how does Change Finance utilize ESG data in the portfolio construction process? How is that different from other ETF providers?
Thank you. Great question. So what we've kind of noticed is that there's this big industry that has developed around ESG data. And there's a lot of rating agencies and companies that provide scores on ESG for different companies out there. And that's great to an extent, but the problem is that when you start just taking a lot of different data around how a company handles hazardous materials, for example, and how they may approach soil preservation, on the other hand, there's a lot of different factors that all kind of get rolled up into one score. So you can oftentimes have good behavior from a corporation on one hand, kind of masking bad behavior on another. And the thought experiment that we talk about all the time at Change Finance is that you could have a company out there that's done a lot of good things in terms of reducing their carbon emissions, and they're trying to address climate change, and that's wonderful. But that same company might actually be really sort of careless with how they handle sort of some dangerous chemicals. And if they were to do something and there were to be an accident and those chemicals were to somehow contaminate the water for a municipality, that municipality is going to go ahead and they're going to sue that company, right? And they're not really going to care how good their carbon emissions are. They're very different issues. So when we think about ESG at Change Finance, we think about it as a tool to really mitigate risk for investors. So if you want to mitigate risk, you can't just look at these high-level scores. You really have to look at every component piece of data. So we break out those scores and we actually evaluate companies on about 125 different factors related to environmental issues, related to people, and related to corporate governance. So it's a much more sort of rigorous, much more detailed way of using the data in order to make sure that our investors are hopefully insulated as much as possible from the risks that, may stem from irresponsible corporate behavior.
I love it when people talk about corporate governance, because for a long time, people thought that good corporate governance and profitability were mutually exclusive, but they're actually complementary because you're avoiding a lot of risk.
Yep. It's a long-term thinking about the business versus short-term, right? If you're only thinking about what's going to happen the next quarter, then you might take a whole bunch of risks and do some things that are not so good for the planet, not so good for people, in the hope that you might be able to squeeze out one more good quarter. But if you want to have a good long-term business, you know, corporation that's going to be around for decades, you have to think about these things.
Sustainability. So since its founding, Change Finance has had a firm stance against investments in and related to the fossil fuel industry. Why is that?
Yeah, so we kind of look at companies in a couple of different lights, right? There are some companies that are part of very normal businesses, right? You think about banks, right? Banks can do a lot of harm or they can do a lot of good depending on how they choose to lend money. So banking is not fundamentally an unsustainable business, right? But there are other businesses out there where the core business, the whole focus is something that is fundamentally unsustainable. And there are some different examples that we could talk about, but probably the most glaring one that we all think about these days is the fossil fuel industry, right? I mean, the entire purpose of those corporations is to extract hydrocarbons from the ground to sell them so that they can be burned and that we can put more carbon into the atmosphere. And there's been a lot of debate over the years about, oh, well, it might actually be better to invest in a company like ExxonMobil so that we can be shareholders and then we can have a seat at the table and we can try to steer that corporation in a better direction. You know, I applaud people for trying, but the reality is that it just hasn't worked. Folks have been trying to do that for decades now. And here we are, 2021. You know, the Pacific Northwest is melting. We've had deep freezes in Texas, right? Obviously, we're at a point now where we really need to do some things in a hurry about climate change. And these large fossil fuel companies are just not getting the message. They have not shifted their businesses in any kind of meaningful way, right? The vast, vast majority of their revenues still come from digging up hydrocarbons and selling them to us, right? So in those situations, we say, well, you know, if the business is not able to change, then it's just simply a risk to our investors. And so instead of putting our investors in front of that risk so that we can try to convince that company to do something a little bit better, we're just going to choose to protect our investors, right? We're going to get them away from that risk as much as possible. And that means divesting from the fossil fuel industry.
No, I love that. What is that saying? It's the definition of insanity is doing the same thing, expecting different results.
Yeah, we've definitely had that conversation. So one of the founders at Change Finance is Hunter Lovins. And Hunter is, some folks like to refer to her as the godmother of sustainability, one of the founding members of the Rocky Mountain Institute here in Colorado, which is the premier sustainability think tank in the country. And she's been at this for a long time, for decades, right? And she has tried going down that road in the past, trying to talk to some of these large fossil fuel companies, invest in them, try to shift their practices. And she'll tell you now, after a long period of just beating her head against the wall, it just doesn't work. It hasn't worked, and we're not confident that it's going to work in the future. So we think better just to back away altogether from a dying industry and hopefully reinvest that money in areas where, you know, we do see a lot of promise and a lot of growth, right? And over the last couple of years, we've definitely seen a big shift in terms of the fossil fuel industry underperforming the market pretty dramatically, and clean tech, right? Green energy companies actually doing really, really well.
Thank you for that. So I know that Change Finance produced its first annual ESG Asset Allocation Tools report recently. Can you provide a few highlights?
Sure. Yeah, it was a big analysis that we did, and I'll kind of spare the audience a huge amount of background about where we got the data from, but maybe I'll just highlight a couple of key findings, and you can always find more on our website, which is change-finance.com. But first and foremost, what we found is that on average, most investors that are invested in portfolios that are focused on ESG, it's not as expensive as I think we once thought that it was. It always kind of had this reputation that, oh, it's great if I can invest in alignment with my values and try to make a positive impact, but that's going to cost more money and it's going to be really expensive. What we found is that the average expense ratio for portfolios that are using ESG funds and ETFs is only 0.56%. So compared to traditional mutual funds and ETFs, really pretty much in line. Definitely a little bit more expensive, but definitely not something that is giving people a lot of sticker shock. So that was great to see. The other thing that was wonderful to see is that most of the funds and ETFs that individuals have been invested in that have that ESG label for the last one to three years have done really, really well. There were actually 56 different funds and ETFs that fell into our sample that we examined that are really the most popular investment products that are being used by investors. And over the last year, 79.1% of them outperformed the sort of broad market, if you will, their appropriate benchmark for their asset class. And over the last 3 years, 78.9% did the same thing and outperformed. So not only are people not paying all that much money, they're getting really good returns out of these investment products as well. And then finally, the last thing that I'll mention is that, you know, going back to this conversation about fossil fuels, a lot of people think that, oh, if I buy a fund that has environmental, social, and governance in the label, it probably doesn't invest in companies like Chevron or ExxonMobil. And unfortunately, that's actually not the case. What we found is out of those 56 different funds and ETFs that have that ESG label, only 20% of them could be considered truly fossil fuel free. And that means not investing in companies that extract, own, process, or burn fossil fuels for electricity generation. So it just means that if you are buying one of these funds and you really do want to back away from that fossil fuel industry, it's worth just taking a look under the hood and making sure that you don't see something like a Chevron as a top holding in that particular fund.
Thank you for that. And I think what is so encouraging is that it's not costing as much as we thought and people are making money. This is good. Very encouraging. So where do you see the ESG investing evolving, whether that's in ETFs or non-ETFs? But I know Change Finance is ETFs. Where do you see the ESG investing industry evolving?
Yeah, no, great question. And I think to your point a second ago, when we went through this and we saw that, wow, this is the experience that most investors are having, right? They're not paying that much. They're getting really good returns in their portfolios. They feel as though they're making a positive impact, and they are, right? Through investing responsibly and sustainably. Win, 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 right? So no wonder that this industry is exploding. And in the last couple of years, we have seen absolute record amounts of money flowing into the ESG investment world, if you will. And now, because it's become so popular and we have sort of reams of data about people, you know, looking at these funds and the data itself, and it shows that it's really valuable, right? It helps protect investors from risk. It definitely can lead to higher quality companies that are hopefully going to do better over time. So it's very unlikely, in our opinion, that this is a flash in the pan or any kind of a fad. What we're seeing is really the whole financial industry, right? Wall Street kind of waking up to the fact that there's this whole additional data set out there that's sort of non-financial, if you will, but that data is really valuable in terms of making better investment decisions. So all of that is to say that in 5 years, we fully expect that almost every portfolio on the planet is probably going to be looking at ESG data in one way or another. The question then is really going to come as to how folks are using ESG data, right? So that conversation about, okay, what is Vanguard doing? Are they just using those high-level ESG scores that we talked about earlier? Or are they going really deep? And are they thinking about these issues in a way that kind of aligns with my values? Right. So there's going to be, I think, this real segmentation in the industry where you sort of have more of a delineation between the companies out there that kind of do it as a a cursory thing to kind of check the box, if you will, versus companies that are really dedicated to trying to make a positive impact on the world. And then there's going to be everything in between. So it'll be interesting to see how that kind of shakes out over the coming years and how folks start thinking about that and how they start classifying different funds and different fund companies in terms of how they use ESG.
Thank you for that. I know you mentioned the website for Change Finance, but where can viewers and listeners learn more?
Thank you so much for asking. Yes, our website is change-finance.com. And on that website, there's going to be a whole host of information. We do have an insights tab. And under that insights tab, we produce white papers. We actually produce our own podcast called the ESG Update. So if folks want to learn more and really, I like to say, geek out on ESG and take a deep dive, there's all kinds of resources there that I think can be helpful for investors.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much. I know I'm passionate about this topic because we both completed the CSRIC designation. So back to you, Hope.
Thank you, Rita and Dan, for that interesting conversation. It's fascinating to see what's going on with global warming and investors and waking up to green energy and the power of that. So, you know, it's from the collapse in Miami to just everything that's happening around the country. Thank you, Dan, for being on the forefront of that and for sharing this fabulous information with our listeners. I want to give a shout out to Ms. Rita, who this week was named one of the top 10 most influential advisors of 2021 by Investopedia. So way to go, Margaritas with Margarita. It's definitely working. And you can learn more about Rita at her website, margaritaschang.com. And we also invite our listeners and viewers to tune in next week when Rita will be interviewing Kimberly Wasby, Director of Sales and Development at Pact with Purpose. So Rita, tell us just a little bit about them.
So what I love about Pact with Purpose is many of us do want to give presence to others. All of the vendors that they use in the Pact with Purpose packages are businesses that help underrepresented communities. So whether that's women-owned businesses or people with developmental disabilities. So this isn't going to be an amazing podcast you don't want to miss. All the businesses that they support.
Excellent. Well, Rita, you always bring fabulous guests onto your show. It's really wonderful to be producing this. Dan, thank you. Best of luck to you. And thank you to all of our listeners and viewers. Have a wonderful weekend. We will see you next Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern on Margaritas with Margarita.